Have you ever felt like you have nowhere to go from here but up? My guest understands that. Hey there, welcome to Love People and Make Money. This is Kelly McCauzy. I am your host. This is episode number 77, and I do have a fantastic guest this week. And I want to keep my remarks here in the beginning to a minimum because we talked longer than I might usually talk to a guest because I was just having such a great time. So let's go. Hey everybody, welcome back to Love People and Make Money. I'm joined now by my guest, Sean Dustin from the Nowhere to Go But Up podcast. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Sean, I met you on Clubhouse. I feel like all my podcasts start that way these days.
Well, it's not a bad place to start with. Honestly, there's a lot of good things going on over at Clubhouse, and I feel bad for the Android users out there that aren't able to take part in this because it's definitely a special place right now. I mean, I'm not sure about all of the rooms, but I know at least all of the ones that I'm in are very authentic. The growth that I'm getting in social media and my brand awareness is very organic, and it's not like the old follow to for follow or like for like, which isn't it's not genuine, And I would much rather have, 1,000 followers with 500 people engaging in my content than having 10,000 with only 100 or 500. Most of them there aren't there for you to begin with. So I really enjoy the platform and how it's structured and the ecosystem that's being created over there.
I've been telling my people from the beginning that Clubhouse to me feels like the experience of that I love of going to a conference and being in the hotel lobby or walking down the hall and just stumbling on a group of people and realizing, oh, they're having a great conversation. I want to join into this conversation. And I've made some really great friends that way, just spontaneously joining conversations. And then there's that other experience where you're at a conference and you're in a lobby and somebody starts up a conversation with you and you realize they've only done it because they want to sell you something. It's like, there's
There
that
is that
too.
too.
Yeah, there's that at Clubhouse and whatever, if it works for them. It doesn't work with me. I usually like get out of that room pretty fast. And
It's easy to tell.
I'm not against being sold to. I like being sold to. It's just normally their picker's not very good because they're coming at me with stuff I'm not interested in.
I've been in a couple of those too, and sometimes it's not bad, but I mean, think about it. I mean, every how often during the day is somebody trying to get into your pockets, right? From the time you wake up till you get your emails, it's like, all right, somebody's hitting me up over here doing it. You go and get your mail, your real mail, your snail mail, and you got people hitting you there. And not to mention the robocalls that are coming at you if you haven't blocked them. I mean, there's how many hours of the day are you not being sold to? And so it's look, I have no problem with buying things, but it's I need to there's real value in relationship building. Because there isn't any of that when you're just being, sold to, right to the hard sell, and I didn't know a whole lot about marketing before I even got to Clubhouse. That's part of why my show didn't it, for as long as I've been doing it and as good as the content is, and not trying to be braggy about it, but I mean, it's really good content that talks about real issues and real things, that I struggle with and that everybody struggles with. And so I think the reason why it wasn't was because I wasn't very good at marketing, like not knowing how to do that. Because marketing, when you're doing something, that could be a full-time job in itself when you just start out, right? And so
I am an internet marketer. I don't, I prefer to introduce myself as a blogger, podcaster, business coach, but at the heart of things, I'm an internet marketer. I have a website. I have a mailing list. My content woos you onto my mailing list, and then I make you offers. I was thinking yesterday when I was walking outside and saw a squirrel, I'm like, I'm that squirrel, because I'm that person who's sending those emails that's saying, look at this, look at this, look at this. Mm-hmm. Not every email, but yeah, I love being a marketer. And my preferred style of marketing is to let my content win you over. My content sorts you out. Either you're interested in content marketing and community building, mm-hmm. or you're not. So I don't want to make an offer to you until you've self-selected yourself into my community. Then I know, oh, this person's very likely interested in what I have to offer, versus going into a hotel lobby or a clubhouse room saying, here's my card, here's my card, here's my card. I don't know if those people are right for me or not.
Yeah, yeah. They're just wasting paper at that point.
Yeah. Sean, nowhere to go, but I want to know about, can you tell us a story about when you realized you wanted to start this podcast?
Okay. That was probably around, I would say 20. So 2010, I changed everything around. My prior life, and we can get into that after this question if you want. But it was, I gotta say, it was probably, I started it in 2019. So I would say 2015 to 2017, I started listening to podcasts while I was at work. Mm-hmm. And I work construction, commercial construction, and usually we're solo in my trade. Because it's just the work is slow. It's not fast enough to have a whole crew, and so I would have my earbuds in all day long, just working along on the ladder and or the lift or whatever I'm in. And I started with Joe Rogan, and I don't know. I was always a fan of Joe Rogan from the Fear Factor. I mean, and I didn't really watch any of his earlier stuff. I know he was on a sitcom. And I didn't know him then, but I watched Fear Factor, and I watched a lot of Fear Factor when I was in prison. And so I heard about podcasts, and I'd known about them, but I thought you had to have an iPod. And so I didn't have an iPod, because that's where they started, right? And so I never caught on to that, because I was an iPod guy. And and so once I got an Apple phone, I was like, oh, I can start listening to podcasts now, huh? And I looked on the phone and it had the podcast thing on, and I'm like, oh, I've had one of these for a year and I've been not doing it. So yeah, I was tech challenged, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
That's
a super, super common misconception that podcast is taken from iPod.
Yeah.
It just they just happen to share the acronym Portable On Demand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I get it.
And so I was, all right, so I started listening to it. And slowly but surely, because I had a bad attitude, I was still, struggling with, like, who am I? What am I doing? I'm not using drugs anymore. But I'm still that dry, drunk type of person, right? Because you could take away all the substances, but if you're not dealing with the person inside that was, taking the drugs to begin with to hide from whatever it was they were running from, nothing's ever going to happen. You're just going to continue bumping into the same walls and the same, spaces and end up, miserable. And so as I started listening to him and the guest that he had on his show, it's almost like I started becoming friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the crazy thing about podcasts, is that there's a name for it. There's a specific name for it, what they call that. I don't know what it is. I've heard it a couple of times in the rooms, but I started listening to him and like, all right, man, I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on with him today. I wonder what his dog, whatever his dog's doing in the studio or whatever kind of, thing that I can get from him. And then his guests too, like Jordan Peterson and Sam Harris and Brett Weinstein and like all these amazing folks that are super intellectual and have amazing and cool perspectives. And so I'm a fly on the wall of these conversations. And what I don't realize is it's shaping my mind. And so the more positive people I start listening to, the more my attitude starts changing and the more receptive I am to wanting to change and realizing that I need to change and that it's given me a different way of looking at things. And, 2 years, 2 or 3 years pass and, I'm continuing to do this and I've, lost 30 pounds and I'm on this journey and I'm leveling up, doing all of these great things and making goals for myself, which I didn't realize was really the path to self-esteem and self-confidence. Cause I didn't learn that when I was a kid. They didn't teach me that in school. Didn't have podcasts in that time either. So, I mean, it was really, I spent a lot of time lost, mm-hmm. From my youth into, my early or into my 30s. And so I thought to myself, well, because I would have went through, in my past, I want to talk about it. And then Joe Rogan always says, you should start a podcast. You should start a podcast. Although I know he's talking to his guests. He was talking to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm like, Yeah, I should start a podcast. Maybe that's how I can get my story out. Cause I know that I have 3 books in it, right? I have the beginning, the middle, and then how the road to nowhere to the road up. And so I'm like, all right, well, let me just start a podcast. Cause I mean, a book, Jesus, that seems like so, I hate to write. I don't like writing, even though I know you can speak it. You can probably do a whole book in a weekend if you really structured it out and were disciplined about it. But I mean, I didn't know all of that then. Mm-hmm. I just saw the mountain and was just like, no, thanks. I don't want to do that. So let's start a podcast. That's a lot easier. And so I did. And I called it Nowhere to Go But Up because I've gone from 0 3 times in my life where I've started literally with nothing. 3 separate times in my life. And I wanted to have guests on that could talk to me about their struggles, whether it's PTSD, weight loss, addiction, sexual abuse, child abuse, all of these really, really hard topics that fall right in the line of, trauma and what usually brings people to the point of, they've got nowhere to go but up, because if they're going to let this thing have the power over them still, at some point they've got to take back that power and realize that, all right, well, it's time to start climbing out of this hole. And as you see right behind me, that is the hole.
Yeah.
That I'm sitting in.
Yeah.
And so
that's a great visual.
Yeah. And so it just, everything has honestly lined up, and not everything has been perfectly lined up, but I mean everything is kind of lined up since I got on this journey. And maybe a lot of it is because I'm for the most part I'm not perfect, but for the most part I'm operating at a higher vibration. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm being intentional about the outcomes that I want in my life and for my daughter and for the message that I'm putting out there, the brand that I'm representing and the story that's behind it, which is me and where I came from to where I'm going to where I am, and there's a lot in there. And as I'm starting to see, I didn't believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, So for those of you that are listening, what you're hearing is the thing that happens when you're self-aware, and when you get to that point, and when you come from an abusive background, and used to be an abusive person, it's hard to have self-esteem and feel good about yourself. And so I think this is just I know where I'm going. I know what I need to do. And
I'm okay with silence, and I'm okay with emotion, and I so just honor the hell out of your vulnerability right now.
Well, thank you. It's just it's really hard to explain. You know, I guess
what my audience doesn't know is that Sean and I don't know each other very well. So Sean has no fucking idea that he just told my story in a nutshell. I get it. Like, I can take what you just said and make it personal and say, when I have grown up in an abusive household, when I have in turn hurt other people, and I become really aware of that, mm-hmm. like the flood of all that awareness brings a shit ton of emotions. For me, there was a long season of shame about it all. Like, oh, I look back and I see it. Wow, that sucked. Mm-hmm. And I sucked. and right now, thank God, I'm in a season of just huge self-compassion. And so the big waves I feel are gratitude. And I feel like that's the vibe I get from you right now. It's just this waves of gratitude, like where I've come from and all I've done to be here right now. Is that close to...
Yeah. Actually, it is. It's really close. And, you know, I'm stepping into who I am. Mm-hmm. But for a long time, I didn't know.
Right.
I did a lot of fraud and forgery and stuff like that. And when people ask me, well, why were you into credit card fraud and identity theft? And I was like, well, because I could be somebody other than myself. Because I didn't like me.
There's a thing, when you can't get what you need and want legitimately, you will get it illegitimately. Or you die. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and some people do. Some people they meet an early end because they can't figure out any way to get their needs met.
Yeah.
And
I mean, yeah. I've always been really resourceful, but it was through manipulation. It was through using people. It was through looking at folks like they were. You were a means to the end of what I needed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see anything. I don't find value in anything that you're doing other than how are you serving me?
Yeah.
And that's exactly how I would treat them. And it's a lonely place because when you look back, there's no one behind you. And what I'm finding is you can't go nowhere without a team.
Amen.
And so, you know, that's what I'm doing now. And one of my, you know, people say, you know, what's your superpower? My superpower is my ability to connect folks, to take pieces that, you know, from my network and people that I've come across in my podcast and know exactly where they need to be placed to help somebody else or to get them help through somebody somewhere else that I've done. And that's, you know, I'm in the justice impacted space and community and population. And so, you know, a perfect example of this, and I'll just give a quick story. So there was this woman who I interviewed, and it was just by chance that I ended up on, you know, I used to go to this Zoom meeting every Sunday. And it was, you know, hosted by a guy that has a nonprofit and he does stuff in the reentry space and all of that. Right. And so I just by chance stepped into there because it'd been about 3 weeks since I'd been in because I'd found other stuff. And, you know, sometimes they just things that you're into just fall off. Right. Because you're into something new. And so I'd stepped in there and I heard her story and she had done 3 years in federal prison. And this wasn't like just some what I'm used to seeing, you know, in a female who's gone to prison and kind of like the level at which they are. I mean, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, there are certain, you know, communities, you know, that people fall into. And she was on the board of directors for the NAACP, the Maryland chapter. She was a business owner. She's a PhD. And I was like, okay, now I'm really curious. Like, how does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And so from getting the story and hearing it, I asked her to come onto my show and to interview her. And she helped like 800 people in 2009 stay in their homes when they were trying to illegally foreclose them. And she was making noise. She was making noise in a big way. And what ended up happening is some powerful person from Maryland asked her to stop saying that. And, you know, for obvious reasons, you know, that we all know what happened in 2008. And, you know, if you don't, I suggest you go watch The Con. That's a true crime documentary series that, you know, I've promoted and I screened and I interviewed that producer of that as well, the executive producer. And this is kind of where the story crosses, right? And so I got this story from her. She told me about everything. She ended up getting thrown in prison and hemmed into a conspiracy, which you can't, in the federal system, you can't fight a conspiracy. It's impossible. And so she ended up having to do 3 years for nothing. They just set her up to shut her up.
Wow.
And so, and one of the things that I do is I call out corruption, mm-hmm. and I amplify the signal of people that are doing it as well. You know, whether if it lands me in jail, if it gets me shot, if it gets me killed, I don't care, because I'm not going to allow that. And people that are afraid of that, that's why we're where we are, yeah. is because too many people are afraid to speak up about things,
yeah.
and stand up for what's right. And so, long story short, we did the episode. I promoted her, all of this stuff, but I started thinking, because Patrick, who was the producer of this amazing documentary series, and you can see the first episode for free if you go to thecon.tv and watch it. And it's only like 10 bucks, but I mean, I watched this thing 3 times, which is, so I gave them 18 hours of my time because this thing was so compelling. And like, it was everything that The Big Short left out, right? That movie, The Big Short.
Yeah.
And so whistleblowers, everything. So I go, hey, well, no, that's not what I did. I go, so let's get his attention, because I think that there's something here that I can connect, because you're on the back end of what he's talking about. They're talking about what caused it, and you're on the end of it, of what they did to kind of shut it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And sweep it under the rug along with the people that were trying to call out the corruptions to begin with. And so I said, I think there's a match here. And so what I ended, I started tweeting and, you know, tweeting at him and looping her into the tweets and, you know, mentioning her story, like, yeah, this really fits in with what you were doing, Patrick. So basically beating the bush around him. And he ends up, he calls me on the telephone. I get a phone call and he's like, hey, what's going on, man? So what's the story? What's the story with this woman? And I explained it to him. And you know, long story short here, I ended up giving her the number. He wanted to talk to her. And now she's probably going to get a segment in his new documentary, which is a second part of the con. So that's what I do. That's my superpower. And I know where to place pieces, and just in my nonprofit alone and the network that I want to build with the Justice Impacted TV and what I'm working on there. So I've got like a bunch of different projects lined up right now that I'm working on that all flow together into Nowhere to Go But Up Inc., which is my nonprofit.
My brain is going all over the place. Have you read The Go-Giver?
No.
Another book I want to recommend to you.
The No-Giver?
The Go-Giver. The Go-Giver. Anyways, because you're a connector, like that's what makes me think of it. They're different, you know, different kinds of people.
And then my story too. I mean, that's really what pushes it, because there's this big story that you know, in my past and what I've gone through and kind of, you know, almost my journey to self-awareness. Because I haven't gone to any like doctors or therapists or any of that. I did it all through using my podcast as a way to leverage guests that can help me through what I struggle with.
Yeah, I want to point something out here for a second. Just you in your life of crime and selfishness. You used people. Mm-hmm. And in your life of service, you use people.
Mm-hmm. Just in the just in the right way.
Right. I mean, it's you're people focused. You know how to leverage people, and what you once used to create havoc and harm, you're using to create service and good in the world. Like it's so interesting. Sometimes we think, you know, that we have to figure out something new and different to do. And then you realize, not really. It's just shifting our intentions.
And that wasn't even planned. It was just a byproduct of what I do that comes naturally. And so I figured out this way, because the podcast, like I said, didn't start out as, you know, me trying to, you know, letting the guests see my progression and how I go through it through, you know, talking to people about self-sabotage or, you know, whatever it is. And it just kind of morphed into that. Right. And then I talk about a lot of other stuff too on the show that, you know, kind of doesn't relate to that. And I'm really rethinking that. And maybe separating those things, which are like alternative media, you know, where we're at right now in the world, and like how did we get here? And there's a lot of different perspectives on that. And, you know, some of the ones that I hold aren't very popular. And so that's me. And so that's kind of where I'm at with it right now. I mean, I've even started working on cover art for a new channel to sort of switch all of that other stuff over to, and then use that to market people into my pod. So if you're over here listening to this, you can check out the Nowhere to Go But Up podcast, yeah. But it wouldn't be I wouldn't be marketing Nowhere to Go But Up to there, but I would be marketing these people over here.
Yeah.
You know, because these people have obviously, if you think the same way that I do, or hold the same views that I do on certain things, you're going to be a fan. Well, if you're a fan of this, then you'll definitely be a fan of this over here. because this is where I get real. This is where the real shit happens, mm-hmm. where the real change takes place. And, you know, we get dirty. We get dirty with emotions. We get dirty with, you know, the truth of, you know, people, and we're messy, you know, yeah. for sure.
It's good to be that intentional with shaping what you want to do with Nowhere to Go But Up podcast, because over the years I've been, when I was Work at Home Moms Talk Radio, I was very focused. I only interviewed work at home moms. It didn't matter how cool you were. If you were a dude, you just didn't fit into the community. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, that would be interesting because there's so many more work at home dads. I don't think it's that different. But in 2004, I thought so. But, I've gone back and deleted episodes that I regretted publishing because they didn't fit. Like I thought, I'll make it work, but then I'm just not proud of it being there. It's like, which one of these is not like the other? That one. And we're running our own podcast. We're creating our own little media library. We get to decide what stays and what goes. And it's cool that you're shaping this and creating another option.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and two, here's another part is that what I stand really firm in, and it's in my intro, you know, if you want transparency and authenticity, you're in the right place. So if I start deleting episodes that I don't like, and there are a couple, they're like number three for one. If you want to hear one that I don't like, number three, number seven, you know, and I had my episode 100 was a 99 episode review, and a review of the ones that I didn't like first and why, you know, giving some context to it. And, you know, I probably shouldn't have recorded that day because my mind was in a space of not healthy thoughts, you know, and anger, and I allowed that to cross into what I was building. But I mean, that's me. Mm-hmm. And so I've left them in there because if you're following me from the beginning, then you're taking that trip. Yeah. You're taking that trip with me, and down the roads that I'm going, you know, mentally, you know, in all of it. Yeah. And you can see the progression. And that's the one thing I think I love about podcasts, especially when it's not somebody who's a media superstar or somebody that's popular, is you get to follow them on their journey, mm-hmm. and you get to grow right along with them. And they become friends, you know, even though you don't even know them. And, you know, at some point, you know, some of these friends even want to reach out and talk to you. Like I talked to somebody who watches my live stream last night. She reached out on Messenger and she's like, hey, you know, I'm always, you know, I always talk to people, you know, I don't act like I'm better than, or I don't have time for you. And I think we ended up talking until like 11 o'clock at night, you know, and, you know, she needed someone to talk to. And I guess I was that person for her. And, you know, it's just things like that, you know, that you never know who's listening. You never know who you're going to touch, you know, with your content. So it's,
there's, when I started my, it was an internet radio show in 2003, then podcasting hit in the summer of 2004. What I didn't expect back then, had no idea what happened, is that when I did a podcast and interviewed other people, that my audience would start thinking I'm smart. Mm-hmm. And that my audience would want to be connected to me and connected to one another. I had no idea. I mean, these days it's just kind of given. We know podcasts do that, mm-hmm. but I had no idea. And so a community grew around it and completely transformed my life. And, you know, that's what you're doing right now. Your content is attracting and serving a community of people. And that's magic. You know, that's everything. what you said a little while ago, you realize what you were listening to is changing your mind, changing your thoughts. And that's what, you know, now you're putting content out there into the world. You're creating change. Like how awesome.
It's the ripple effect.
Yeah. And you're inspiring. Someone's listening to Sean Dustin right now and saying, man, I feel so inspired. Sean, thank you so much for making time to talk with me and for being so real. I would love to interview you again to hear some more of your story, because we're just flat out run out of time.
Yeah, no, I know. But I mean, it was good. I mean, that's it gives something else to come back to and your guests to want to come and listen to more. Because it is a great story. There's a lot to it, and it's pretty powerful. And not in a braggy way. It's just, you know, I lived it, and I'm lucky I got through it, because you know a lot of the things that happened to me, some people don't get through it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I wrote a book last year. I collaborated on a book with members of my community, and it's called Get Past Your Shit. And the point of the book, the goal of the book was to show people some things can be changed. Some things can be fixed. Some things can be developed where you've got roadblocks and difficulties and you can do something about it. And some shit is just shit, you know? You can't go back in time and erase a prison history. You know, you can't go back in time and undo the ways you treated people, you know?
Yeah.
But you can get past that shit and say, so what, now what? What do I want to create with my life now? And you know, the book is full of those kinds of stories.
Yeah.
Because there are people out there listening to this right now who they've got some little shit that bothers them. Like they don't like the way their nose looks. And so they won't do video. It's like, come on, get past your shit.
Yeah.
You know, but then you've got people who, you know, have been in prison or really fucked up and killed someone and that shit is stopping them from moving on with their life and creating something that they want. And every single one of us can see the shit for what it is. Fears, insecurities, shame, tough circumstances. It doesn't have to stop us. So
no, actually, yeah. Just to tie onto that real quick. And the thing that gets you through it is the more you talk about that shit, the more you take away the power of it,
yeah,
and are able to move through it. So just remember that. I mean, when you're struggling and the shame and the pain and all the guilt and everything else that you're holding on to, all that crap that's on your back that you're carrying around, all that weight, the more you talk about that stuff and get real with it, the easier it's going to get, the lighter it's going to get, and it no longer will have power or control over you in your life. So that's my words of wisdom on that.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Listeners, come on back to Love People Make Money and look for Sean Dustin so you can check out his podcast, visit his website, and get links to everything else we talked about it today. Bye, Sean.
Bye, Kelly. Thank you.
You're back with Kelly, wrapping up this episode number 77 of Love People and Make Money. I hope you really enjoyed getting to know Sean Dustin. I know I have. I like what Sean's doing so much, I decided to sponsor his podcast in May. I'm sponsoring it on behalf of the Get Past Your Shit book project, which the book launched back in October. I wanted to give it another solid push. So I'm doing several fun things in May to spread the news about the book. If you haven't already gotten your copy, go to getpastyourshit.com. You're going to be able to listen to a free chapter there, listen or read to a free chapter. And then if you decide to pick up the book, whether you go grab it on Kindle or paperback, you can claim a bonus on the website, access to a group coaching replay that supports your effort to get past your fears, insecurities, and shitty circumstances. So check that out at getpastyourshit.com. Thank you so much for listening.